you so much, church. I know sometimes things just have to be said, they have to be said. But I am thankful for our church. I am greatly blessed and privileged to be your pastor and to work with you. It has been a great, great 10 years of ministry, 10 and a half years of ministry. We've done a lot of great things and touched a lot of people's lives. And we don't have anything to be ashamed about that area. God is challenging us. And so let's accept that as it is. Luke chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. God is looking for you this morning. I say unto you that likewise, verse 8, and either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God is looking for you today. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father surprised him and saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. God is looking for you today. Right. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. God is looking for you today. Let's pray together. Oh, we worship you, Lord, and we magnify you today. Oh, Lord Jesus, let a door of utterance be opened right now, that the word of God would go forth. with plainness of speech, O God, and with power and demonstration, Lord, that somebody's faith in the house would be stirred up, that the word would be mixed in somebody's heart today with faith, and that they would stand up, O God, and receive salvation and deliverance, that they would stand up and receive a call, O God, an insight, O God, a determination, a new vision, a rekindling, O God, of the flame of gifts and callings and ministries in their soul. I pray in the name of Jesus. Let's clap our hands and shout praise Jesus today. The Bible says that a man had 100 sheep, and one of his sheep was lost. We don't know, did it wander away? Did it wander off? Oh, sometimes, folks, we get ourselves into predicaments and situations that we did not intend. Sometimes we find ourselves outside of the camp and the ark of safety. We find ourselves lost in places where we should not be. Sometimes we lose sight of the shepherd. Sometimes our ears can no longer hear his voice. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something today. If you wandered away from God, the Bible says that he counts his sheep, and he calls their number, and he calls them by name. And when he finds one of his sheep missing, the Bible says that the shepherd is going to come looking for his lost sheep. God is looking for you today. No matter if you've wandered, no matter where you find yourself. The Bible says in the Old Testament that a young man named Saul, before he became king, that his father's cattle had wandered off. And the Bible says he was out searching for those cattle to try to find them for his father. If the men of this earth and the women of this earth can turn the world upside down to find things that they have lost, temporal things, things that don't have a lot of value, things that pass away in a moment's time. I think sometimes we put out more energy, ladies and gentlemen, to find our lost pair of glasses than what we do to reach out to the lost people in our community. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is not like us. He doesn't put out more energy on things that don't matter. But when he finds out that somebody has wandered away, he goes looking for them. Jesus is looking for us today. Hallelujah. And whether or not you are lost sheep, and then Jesus goes on, he says, you might be a lost coin. And somebody tell me where the lost coin was lost at. It was lost in the house. How many times have you known or in your own personal life experienced a time and a season in your walk with God where you were coming to the house of the Lord, you were coming to the hour of prayer, you were reading your Bible and you were singing and worshiping, you were paying your tithes and offerings and missions and doing everything that was asked of you to do, but somehow in your heart you had gone cold, somehow inside of your spirit you lost some joy, somehow you found yourself in a spiritual plane where you were in the house, but you were lost. And you were in the house, but nobody could count you or find you. Oh, but I'm here to tell you today, you may have been in the house of God and lost. You may have been putting on the smile, and you may have been going through the motions. But God knows if you're in the pocketbook or not. And he counts his change from time to time. And when he finds a coin that's missing, lost in the house, the Bible says that a candle is going to be lit and the house is going to be swept and turned upside down until that lost coin is found. Oh, Jesus is looking for you today. Lost in the house. But he's trying to turn things over and turn things upside down and sweep the cobwebs out until he finds those coins that are lost in the house. Jesus is looking for you today. And the Bible says when the lost sheep was found, there was a celebration in heaven. The Bible says that when the lost coin was found, there was a celebration. Oh, I'm telling you. you today, Jesus is looking for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes we're like the prodigal son. We get what we are promised from God. We get our inheritance and we get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're baptized and we repent and we're filled with the Spirit and we rejoice and we enjoy all of the blessings of the kingdom. But somehow we think and begin to get arrogant. Somehow we begin to think that we're smarter than everybody else. Somehow we begin to get the idea that nobody really can see God and understand things like we do. And we get to thinking that we go out and do our own thing. We get to thinking, I've got the power of the Spirit in me. I don't need no pastor. I don't need no church. I don't need no daddy. I don't need no mama. And I don't need no brothers and sisters telling me what to do every minute of the day. I'm going to go out and I'm going to show the world how great and powerful of a Christian I am. And of course, you know how that story always ends. It ends in disaster. It ends in brokenness. It ends in poverty. It ends in the most desperate and destitute of situations. Because the Bible said that God had put the members of the body in the body as it pleases Him. We are members in particular and members one of another. And we are the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body. And you cannot survive without the body of Christ in your life. And so you have found it to be true and found yourself in a desperate situation. Oh, but the Bible says if we'll come to ourselves, the Bible says that the man of God, that they ought to preach and teach, and that they ought to talk to those who oppose themselves with compassion and patience and kindness, if perchance that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Because there's a lot of snares on the road of life, and there's a lot of snares that the devil lays down, and there's a lot of people in the pig pen. Oh, hallelujah. But there is a Father. He understands that you made a choice. He understands that you stepped outside of the ark of safety. He understands that you left the roost thinking that you could know better somehow how things ought to be. But I'm here to tell you that Father is still looking for you. And He may not want to come and find you because He doesn't want to disturb you. He doesn't want to go against your will and your desire. He doesn't want to be unjust and unkind. He wants to let you do what you feel like you need to do. But the moment, in your moment of despair, when you say to yourself, in my Father's house, the slaves and the servants are better off than I am. I'm going to go back to the Father's house and I'm going to say I'm not worthy to be called a son. Oh, I like what the Apostle Paul said. Of all of the sinners that ever walked the face of the earth, he said, I am the chief of the sinners. Oh, and he never ever was. He called himself a slave. He called himself a servant because God was merciful to him and found him on the road to Damascus and said, why are you persecuting me? Oh, and he changed his life and gave him another chance. Jesus is looking for us today to give us another chance. And if we could say to ourselves, I'm going to go back to the Father's house. I'm going to go back to the old ways of doing things. I'm going to go back to the church house. I'm going to go back to my prayer closet. I'm going to get back in the Word of God. I'm here to tell you that there's a loving Father in heaven who has been waiting for your mind to begin to change. And He is ready to receive you with open arms. The Bible says that the Father was looking. He saw him afar off. He was not indifferent to his son's plight. But every day, no doubt, he looked down that road hoping to see his son. Every time he came out of the field, he spied the road to see if his son was coming today. Every morning he went out to the fields or to the markets, he looked down the road. It might be today that my son is coming. Every day the Father was looking, hoping. Oh, he was praying. He was seeking God. And one day, he was looking a great way off, and he saw a bedraggled man. He saw slumped shoulders. He saw an emaciated frame, shoeless, and holy clothes on his body, torn, and a head a mess. And the Bible says when he saw,
He ran down the road and he went to his son and he hugged him. The Bible says he kissed him, put a ring on his finger, put some shoes on his feet, take those old clothes off of him and put some new clothes on him. Why? Because our God is always looking for us to return to him. Today, Stacy, in one of her beautiful songs, Psalm 139, 7 through 10, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me." You cannot escape the presence of the Lord. He is always looking to bring you back to him. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, the man, the prophet of God, had turned his back on the will of God and the word of God. He said, "I don't want to do what God is asking me to do." The Bible says God prepared a giant fish, and he was thrown overboard of a ship in the middle of a storm and swallowed by that fish. And the Bible says, the fish took Jonah to the bottom of the sea. I'm here to tell you something today. You may have turned your back on God. You may have run from the call. You may have refused his call. And you may have found yourself in a situation that is so far from God. But the Bible said in Jonah 2:2, and he said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." God is looking at the moment we return, at the moment our mind is changed, at the moment our mouth is opened in prayer. God is looking for you today. God is looking for somebody in this church today to open up the doors of their heart and say, "Come in, Jesus. Come back in. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come." Oh, let my life be a reflection of your glory. Psalm 34:15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." God is looking for us today. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1 that God said that there's going to be people that aren't even looking for me, that I am going to reach out to them. It says, "I was sought by those who did not ask. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name." Oh, aren't you glad today, Gentile believers, that God was looking for you. Some of you, maybe from Europe, some of you from the Americas, others of you from Asia or the Africas, wherever that you came from, God was looking for you. On the cross of Calvary, he was reaching out. Aren't you thankful, Gentile believers, that us who were unworthy, those of us who were wild out of branches, that God came looking for me and you, and he drew us to himself, and he wounded himself, and he took us wild olive branches, and he grafted us in to the weeping place on his vine, and we have been enjoying the privileges and the benefits. Oh, because God is now looking. It says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23 in the New Living Translation, "So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find so that the house will be full." God is not just looking for anybody. He's looking for everybody. He said, "You go out and anybody you find." They may be hiding behind the hedge, getting into trouble. They may be over here at the curb, destitute and undone. They may be over here in a hospital bed. They may be at Walmart. They may be with you at school or on the job. But he said to his servants, go and beat the hedges. And everybody that you find, bring them into my house so that my house can be full. I'm talking about a God that is looking, that is searching, that is longing and hungering to be in relationship with the people that he created. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. I don't care if it was an evangelist and you grew up on a pew or underneath a pew. Hallelujah. I don't care if you was a bus kid. I don't care how you heard and how you came to know this. Somehow there was a God looking for you. Somehow there was a Savior seeking to save your lost soul. And he is still the same God today as he was back then. And he is still just as anxious and concerned that we can enjoy the benefits of eternal life as he was 2,000 years ago when he hung on Calvary. Sometimes we lose the purpose. Sometimes the fire goes out. But I'm preaching to a church today that needs to clean out the ashes, that needs to try out the wood, that needs to chop up the kindling, and that needs to rekindle a fire and a hunger and a desire to reach the lost souls that Jesus puts in our path from day to day. Jesus stood over Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. I'm talking to a church today. I know that we're all in different places in our spiritual maturity. I know that we're all in different places, but there is a God that is looking. He's looking out in the desolate places in the wilderness. He's looking in the house for those that are lost, and he's looking and watching for those who have turned away in rebellion. Our God is looking to save a soul, and not just save a soul. Jesus didn't just come, amen, to bring salvation. He brought healing in his hands, healing in his wings. He came to protect. He came to bless and give gifts and impartations so that the church and the gospel of Jesus could grow and grow and grow. The Bible said in Daniel that a stone came up, and the image that he saw, and it hit the feet of the image, and the image crumbled. But that stone, the Bible says, grew and grew and grew and grew until it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, until the kingdom of God is resting on the city of Jerusalem, until the temple of the Holy One is resting on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Until all the nations of the world are streaming to Israel to hear about this Jesus. We are still called to grow. We are still called to preach. We are still called, amen, to press our way into this kingdom. The end is not yet, folks. We're still on the journey. And now is no time to give up. It's still time to look. It's still time to search. Until those who are lost can be found. Until those who have wandered can be brought back into the house of God. Naomi, the Bible says, I love this. How many of you love the story of the book of Ruth? And the only thing I don't like about the story of Ruth is every time I read it, it makes me cry. And you know that I'm not a crybaby type of person. That maybe it's just one of the vagaries of old age. But, hallelujah. I love that book. I love that story. And it always brings tears to my eyes to see the dedication and the commitment of this young woman who was uprooted from her home. She was uprooted from her family. She was uprooted from her religion. She was uprooted from everything that she had. Oh, I don't know. Naomi was out there wandering. Naomi and her husband were out there. Elimelech were out there wandering. But God was looking upon Naomi. God was looking upon Elimelech. And even though he died and his sons died, God was still searching and seeking for this woman who had turned her back on the house of bread in Bethlehem to go to a land of foreigners, foreign gods and foreign practices. How often, saints of God, are we living in the breadbasket of God's kingdom? How often are we sitting at the table of His banquet and buffet, and every spiritual blessing and every blessing and calling of God is sitting upon us, that our human flesh gets unsatisfied, our human flesh gets a little antsy, and we go searching for God everywhere when we had Him all along. We go looking everywhere to find Him when all along He was right there with us. I don't want to be like the Jews and God have to carry us away and destroy our lives and spend 70 years in captivity before they realize how good they really had it in God. Oh, I don't want to complain. I don't want to murmur. I don't want to doubt. I don't want to throw it back in the teeth of the Lord. It would have been better if I had stayed in Egypt and sinned. I want to realize and recognize that what I have is what God has given me, and there isn't anything better. When God gives it to you, you can't get better. He saw Naomi wandering, and He called her home, and she brought something with her. She brought another broken young woman with her, and God was looking. God was looking at these two broken women, and He said to Himself, I have found what I'm looking for. Brother Patrick, I'm looking for somebody to put my bloodline in, to bring my Savior and Messiah and Son to existence in the earth. And He found a broken woman, Naomi, tattered with grief, wrinkled in despair, and He found her dedicated but broken-hearted ex-daughter-in-law. And God said, I have found what I'm looking for. And He called those two women, and a son was born. Hallelujah, that would be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whose loins and from whose womb would come the man that would bring forth King David himself. Oh, it may look bad today, and you may have come a very long way from where you're supposed to be, but my God can take the worst of situations and circumstances that we have made of ourselves, and He can bring forth the praises and the promises of the Messiah. God is looking for you today. Shut down here, but I like what Boaz says to Ruth in chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, may the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. The Lord has His wings spread out today, waiting for somebody to come. There is a reward, there is safety, there is healing, and He wants to wrap those wings around you and protect you from the pelting, protect you from the peckers and the hen peckers and all of the predators that are out there. God wants to bring you under His wings and put Himself as your defense. Let's stand together right now, if you would. God is looking for you. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Jesus says to His disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. But you don't understand what I've done. No, I probably don't, but God does. And His blood is enough to cleanse every stain. You don't understand what I've done, what I've done. No, I probably don't, but God does. He's been with you there all along, watching you, looking for you, calling to you. And he says to his disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Oh, we ask for crazy things sometimes, don't we? I asked the Lord years ago when I was in Bible college. I was struggling financially and I needed $500. And one of my friends, a sweet mate in the suite next to us, we shared a bathroom, four of us guys, shared two sinks and one shower and one toilet bowl. And he'd been working in a church and they took up an offering of over $500. Yes, I went to the Lord in prayer and I said, God, it's not right. If you do that for him, you should do that for me, because you said you're not a respecter of persons. Be careful what you pray. The Lord provided for me $500, but he humbled me terribly in the process. They called me into the financial office and said, do you have an aunt or a rich uncle or a parent or a grandparent you can call? It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. It was shameful. And to me, at that age, of course, I was young and arrogant and all of those things to the max. And I called my grandpa on the phone and I told him that I needed $500. And he never questioned or second-guessed. He sent me $500 right away to pay off my bills. What are you saying today? God is looking for us, church. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to meet your needs. And I'll be honest with you, ever since that day, I was already pretty motivated as a giver. I was already pretty appreciative of what the Lord did for me. And I never, ever had a second question about paying tithes or offerings. And in these days, it's missions. And never, ever second-guessed an opportunity to be a part of giving to the kingdom of God. Ever. But I'm here to tell you, after that, that made me more thankful. That made me want to be a better preacher. It made me want to be a better man of God, knowing that my grandparents on a fixed income were willing to support my ministry. It made me want to work harder. It made me want to do what God called me to do. Jesus did something for us which we are not worthy of. The great and mighty King did something for us that was shameful and embarrassing to him. Brought him down to the grave. I want to live my life in a way that honors his sacrifice at Calvary. I want to live my life. He is so kind that not only did he sacrifice himself for my sins, but he imparted to me the promised treasure of the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to walk in a way that would even begin to reflect negatively on the wonderful treasure that the Lord and the wonderful things that he has done for me in my life. And why? Why did he do all of those things for me? Why does he do all of those things for you? Because God loves us. And he wants to be in a relationship with us.
His wings are stretched out today. I want to invite the church to come for a few minutes of consecration and commitment. His wings are stretched out today. Come and shelter yourself under His wings for a few moments at this time. And let Him love on you. Let His joy and rejoicing move you today. Let His call and His trust that He has in you be revitalized today. You didn't call Him, but He called you. He looked for you. He reached for you. He honored you with His love and with His care.